And we want to spend just a few moments before we head off to our picnic in God's Word together. I am in 1 Samuel chapter 22, and in that New Pew Bible, it's on page 452. If you're looking it up on your phone or in your own Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 22, and I simply want to read a few verses here at the beginning of the chapter. And then we'll look briefly and quickly, because perhaps you, like me, face times where things can seem overwhelming, and how do we ever get by those tough times in life? So let's stand together as we read maybe the first five verses of this chapter, and we'll take just a few moments to look at it together. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. And let's just stop there. The reason I like to get us to stand as we read the scripture is, in our world there is so little respect for God and even less for his word. And so I'm thankful for you, Heritage family. It's just a good thing to be able to stand and say, we recognize this word, we respect it as it is indeed the word of the living God. Heavenly Father, would you lift our hearts and focus us on your encouragement to us today, and take your word by your Spirit, cause it to live in our hearts and lives, that we might be equipped and enabled by your gracious hand to walk in this world but not be of this world, and to know the precious joy of your salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, and I'll just quickly cause us to think about a few things. David has been on the run when we get to chapter 22. Saul is hunting him. He is a very wanted man. And, you know, it reminds us that life does not always go easily. Here is a man who has been anointed king, but he's not the king yet. In fact, his life is in danger and under threat, and he's sort of chased from place to place around the country of Israel. And here in these few verses, there's just an amazing amount of encouragement. I love this chapter. Because you see, when we are under duress and pressure, we always feel that we are alone. But would you just notice what God does here in this chapter? Because it's so precious. And it's a picture, indeed, of what Tong was talking about. Pastor Tong said, we are a family. It doesn't matter. Our faces may differ, but the Savior in our hearts is the same. And here in this text, we see three outstanding things of note, and they bring amazing blessing as you look at them, and they bring us hope. And the thing that you need most if you're under pressure is hope. You need to know that you're not alone in it, and that God has a plan and a way through it and a way out of it. So it's a real picture of the joy and the freedom and the strength of following Jesus and knowing him personally. And in a way, David in this text is a type, an Old Testament type, of who Jesus is to you and I today. So, you know, David, as you read on through his life, you discover he has these mighty men. Yeah, but this text, what a bunch of misfits. What a bunch of people who don't seem to belong anywhere. But, you see, it's what God can do with us and through us. Yet not I, but Christ through me. So, let's think just quickly about three things. Before we go and enjoy that picnic and have a wonderful time of fellowship together. First, the character of those who came to David. If you just stop and think about the character as it is recorded for us here in these verses, it tells us that his family came. Well, that's not a surprise. I mean, if one member of the family is in trouble, what do? We usually come and gather and do what we can. And that's what's happening with David's family too. But because he's on the run and he likes to look after old folks, if we had read a couple more verses, you'd see he takes his father and his mother and he asks the king of Moab to look after them until he sees what God will do for him. And then we come to this passage, this word that tells us about the character of those who came to him. And there's the distressed. Ever been distressed? Hands up, anybody who's ever been distressed. Some of you I'm worried about. We all know what it is to be distressed. These are folk who are driven to David by circumstances and hard things in life. Then it says there's the debtors. Anybody here ever been in debt? I see those hands. Yeah. We understand these words that are used here. Perhaps they were even bankrupt, but you see, they couldn't pay it. So they went to someone who could help them. And the debt of sin in every human life is like that. We cannot pay it. So we need to go to one who can help us, one who can wash it, one who can cleanse it. And that is the work that only Jesus can perform in the human heart. You see, you can be overwhelmed by distress and overwhelmed by debt. And then it says the discontented. That's the third group that came to David. Disappointed with life and maybe embattled in all kinds of things. Restless. Unsatisfied. That so easily happens in our world, doesn't it? Lives that are wrecked and promises that are empty and broken. Where can you go? Well, the discontented went to David. And you and I, we can go to the Lord Jesus and bring those things to him. These group, we would say, had a certain amount of misery in life. And they needed someone who could whisper, "Peace, be still." And you know, that's exactly the work that Jesus does when life is in turmoil. I remember someone asked Nelson Mandela, "How's your family?" And he said, "I have 45 million in my family." He was talking about all of South Africa. There's nobody who could carry that kind of thing. And we do carry all sorts of things, don't we? But oh, how we need to bring it to Jesus. These folk came to David. They were trusting him to help. They become the mighty men that God will use in days ahead. Reminds me of the story of Gideon hiding from everybody, threshing out a little wheat for his family. And the angel comes to him and says, "Hail, mighty man." Oh, God can see what no one else sees. He can bring such blessing, such grace into life. Later today, when you get time, or maybe this evening, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and you'll see it says, "Not many mighty, not many noble people are called, but to those who came to Christ, they became the righteousness and the peace of God." And so it is here with these folk who come to David. Secondly, very quickly, the reasons we see that that they came to him. All of these things are true that we've looked at about being distressed and so on. So what do you do about it? Well, they came to David because they believed in him. Here was one that they could look at and say, I believe that he's going to make a difference, and he's going to make a difference in me today. And so they turned their back on all of those negative circumstances, and they come to the one who can really make a difference. They believed that he was God's anointed king. They had heard about it. Romans tells us that faith comes by hearing. And I have talked to many people who said, I was hopeless, there was nowhere to go, and somebody told me, try Jesus. And it made all the difference in the world. They were convinced that this is one who can do something about my circumstances. No one else, you see, could overcome those difficulties. Every other leader had disappointed them and lived for themselves. But David did not fail. And my dear friends, Jesus never fails. Oh, I fail countless times. And, I disappoint people and sometimes hurt people. But Jesus never fails. Ever. They had decided for him. They decided, made a choice that they would go to David, and it meant change. And you see, when we set it down and come to Christ, there is change. We no longer carry those burdens, but they're like a bunch of little octopuses. They like to hang on and try and drag us back and pull us back down. But oh, friends, they decided for David, and we must decide for Christ. And it brought about a new way. I get such a kick out of just thinking about this. My life is terrible. I'm in debt. You can't believe the stress that I'm under. My goodness. Yet nobody knows and understands all the tough things that are in my life. I'm going to go to David. And then, whoa, I can be hunted. I can be persecuted. I could lose my life following him. But it was the right choice. Because Jesus never fails, and David did not fail them as they trusted in him and decided for him. They were prepared to follow him, to obey, to be sold out. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture is that verse in Daniel when the king says to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, can your God deliver you from the fiery furnace? And they say, yes, O king, he can. But if not, we still will not bow down to your God. Think about these who came to David. Things were tough, but they could trust in him. And the third thing that encourages us today as we look at it is that there is a result from coming to him, just as there is a result from coming to Christ. Here comes Pastor Shea. I told him if I wasn't done at 11:30, come play the piano. Brother, you better come up here because it's only going to take me a minute here. What is the result of coming to David, these folk who came to him? Well, first of all, there is guidance. They are no longer alone. They have someone who is there to guide and to lead and who will be there all the way through. They have someone who protects, someone who gives a sense of belonging to them and a sense of assurance that we are together in this thing. And oh, you know, if the church would seek the Lord for a great awakening in these days, there would be that sense of binding together in his love once again, knowing his guidance, knowing his protection, belonging in his hand, just as David brought that sense to this band of people who came. And then quickly, there was the reward of a result of coming to him. There were no more lost battles. David brought victory. And oh, if David could do that, how much more so can Jesus do that today? Forgive me. I just can't resist it, even though the piano's playing. Yes! He is the victor. Christ is the victor. And regardless of the difficulties and the circumstances that you face today, you bring them to the altar. Set them at the foot of the cross. Watch Christ lift them. Watch what he can do. Amen. Oh, the reward was that they had peace. And they had a loving fellowship. And they had joy and fulfillment and truth. How much more can you and I have in the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, Father, when we look at this simple text today, you took the distressed, you took the debtors, you took those who were discontented, and you molded them together with such strength that they took a nation. And Lord, you can take my difficulties today, my brokenness, any issue that is in a life here this morning, and you can make such a marvelous turnaround. Because you are God, and there is no other. So, Father, would you continue to just minister these words into our hearts that we might be strengthened and enabled to put our hand in yours and trust you. Trust you for salvation. Trust you for the needs and the difficulties of life. Casting all our care upon him because he cares for you. Master, by your Spirit, through your word, bind it deep in our hearts that you might equip us for the week that is coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.